ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ब्रह्मानन्दम् परमसुखदम् केवलम् ज्ञानमूर्तिम् द्वन्द्वातीतम् गगनसदृशम् तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकम् नित्यम् विमलमचलम् सर्वधी साक्षिभूतम् भावातीतम् त्रिगुणरहितम् सद्गुरुम् तम् नमामि. रघुपति राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीताराम. रघुपति राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीताराम. केशव माधव राजा राम पतित पावन सीताराम. राम राम जय राजा राम 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 जय सीताराम. राम 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 said last class, it is very important for one to know the choicelessness of the ultimate end. The commitment, the pursuit of that end with the conviction is possible only if the end being choiceless is understood. That's why I emphatically said purushartha nischayaha. One should have purushartha nischayaha. Of all the purusharthas, no, when we say purushartha itself means it is something which cannot be ignored or avoided. Artha is important, kamaha is important, dharma of course is important. And then, but what is the ultimate is moksha. And moksha is not something that we will see hereafter. It is something which is already there. So accomplishing the already accomplished is moksha, really speaking. Discovering freedom which is already there is moksha. So discovering freedom means discovering what happiness is. But discovering what happiness is becoming free from sorrow. Becoming free from sorrow is what? Discovering freedom. So discovering what happiness is implies what? Discovering what the reality is. What Brahman is. What is that substance indicated by the substantive Brahman? We only use the word Brahman, Brahman, Brahman. It's only substantive. What is a substance? Like water, substantive, when you see, oh, substance. Every substantive immediately brings to your mind the substance indicated by the substantive. Brahman. Okay, leave the word Brahman. Consciousness. Substantive. What is the substance of the substantive consciousness? We don't know. That is what Shastram says, discover that substance of the substance indicated by the word substantive Brahman or consciousness. So discovering what consciousness is, understanding what consciousness is, in fact discovering what limitlessness is. Discovering what limitlessness is, discovering, understanding what happiness is. Understanding what happiness is, discovering what happiness is, becoming free from sorrow, or discovering the self being already free from sorrow. That is what is freedom. Jivan, jivanti, muktihi. Freedom while living. It's a question of discovery. That is the ultimate. That is what is. So what is sought after through all the artha, kama, dharmas? No? Artha, kama, both have to be pursued, but both have to be accomplished as a result of karma. Okay, dharma again can be lived only by performing karma. You cannot live a life of, you cannot be a truthful person, you cannot express yourself being truthful if you don't speak at all. You cannot express yourself being righteous and ethical if you don't transact in the world at all. So dharma, even the pursuit of dharma, is possible only by performing karma. But for moksha, no karma is required. Jnanat eva kaivalyam. Kaivalyam means oneness. Kevalam means only. Here when we say oneness, here we mean the Brahman, the oneness of reality. Jnanad eva kai. So mokshaha also is implied. Only in understanding the oneness of reality, the second reality being not there, the real freedom, this real freedom in absolute sense. That's why jnanad eva kai, only you don't need to do anything. All that you need to do is to know. Okay. Know what the reality is. Knowledge is freedom. Ignorance is bondage. So this is the ultimate, because this is what is sought after through all other pursuits. Therefore, then there's no choice. There's no choice. I have to one day or the other, sometime or the other in my life, unless and until I discover what this freedom is all about, I'll be chasing, I'll be driven, I'll be slogging. No way of sitting and relaxing. Okay, no way. It's a choiceless end. Therefore, Shastram says, When the person understands the choicelessness of the end, I'm repeating this today because it is very important. Only then we become committed. I know you're already committed. You don't need to become committed. Already you are committed. Because commitment becomes strengthened. So commitment, when you become committed, as a committed person, commitment is there. Then you ask for that, please. That's what, that's how the mature person, the Shastra shows, the most mature is the one who doesn't see the second thing in absolute sense. Okay, though he sees the diversity, plurality, multiplicity relatively, absolutely, for him, what is there is only Brahman. The whole jagat is Brahman. This is the second thing other than Brahman. Such a person of great deep vision now is the most mature. The most mature. One who can be shaken by anything. He cannot become more mature than that. A jnani. But Shastram also talks about another mature person. To become the most mature, one has to become more mature. You can't afford to be immature anymore. Who is the more mature person? Who is qualified to become the most mature is the one who has Purushartha Nischayaha. Because the one who can ask for knowledge, knowledge of the truth, knowledge of the reality. Okay, such a person should be driven. No one can know that. For the person to become more mature, to be qualified to become most mature, okay, one should have seen, enjoyed the best of things, and one should have understood the limitations of the best of things. That nothing in the world, nothing whichever I consider as the best of pleasures, the best of security, the best of prosperity, the best of everything, no, can't help me to be at ease. That in spite of all my possessions at home, still leave me unhappy behind. Okay, that is what one can really ask for. That is the personal, that is the mind of Arjuna actually. When he says, Karpanya dosha upahati svabhavaha prachami tvam dharma sammudha chetaha yachayasyat nischitam tanme bruhi. Nischitam tanme bruhi. Yachayasyat nischitam tanme bruhi. Please tell me only that which will give me shreyas. Don't tell me anything other than that. I don't know anything else. Other than knowledge, nothing will free me from my limitations and sorrow and the problems and unhappiness. Everything else can keep me pleased for a length of time, give me infrastructure, give me some secure feeling, but really speaking, they can't really keep me at ease. Yati shreyasyat nishtam tanme bruhi. Aham te sishyaha shadhi mam tvam prapannam. I have surrendered to you. Okay, that's surrendering oneself to the shastra, to the teacher. Okay, teaching sense, who is mobile shastra. This total trust that it should give result in mission, it should free. That is the more mature person. He is the more mature person. And only when you ask for knowledge, wisdom, then the teacher can work on you. Unasked, shastra knowledge cannot be given. Even if the teacher is over ambitious and gives, it will overflow. It won't go inside, it will go outside, overflow on the head. This way, Bhagavad Gita presents, Krishna has been always a contemporary. Krishna has been a playmate, charioteer for Arjuna, has been all the time with him, okay, hugging and stroking, doing everything, but could never give the shastra. He had to wait for Arjuna to ask. That's what we are also doing. We are all the same with joy, with the happiness, but we never want to know what it is. We are with happiness, but without happiness. Because we don't know what it is. We never tried to know what it is. We only say, we want to be happy, I don't want to be unhappy. But have you ever asked the question, what this happiness is all about? We never asked. Never thought we should ask the question. I'm always saying, I want to be happy. I mean, I don't want to be unhappy. Have you ever asked what the happiness is? No, this is the problem. Then Krishna has to come and say, okay, you want shreyas? You want shreyas? The shreyasvi, the one who has shreyas is shreyasvi. In feminine, it is shreyasvini. One who has wealth in its entirety, wealth of joy, wealth of happiness, wealth of everything. Shreyasvini. Shreyasvi. So if you want to be Shreyasvi, then you have to know. So panditaha na anashochanti. We started last week that way. Panditaha na anashochanti. Panda means knowledge, and one who has panda is pandita. One who is endowed with the panda is panditaha. He is knowledge of the reality. One who has knowledge of reality is a panditaha. And such a person, panditaha na anashochanti. That means those who are not panditaha, they do grieve. They can't help grieving. Grief is something inevitable for apanditaha, for those who do not know. There is no choice. You want freedom from grief? No. The truth. That's all. Choice. And grief cannot be, you can't, I don't want to pursue knowledge. It's too but I want freedom from grief, sorrow. No, they're not possible. It can't go together. Because things of opposite attributes cannot coexist. No, viruddha dharma cannot coexist in same locus. Ignorance and happiness cannot exist together. Knowledge and unhappiness cannot be together. Viruddha dharma, they're of opposite nature. Oh, light and darkness stay together. Yeah, I see, there's darkness, there's also light. No, where there is light, there cannot be darkness. Because viruddha dharma, they're of opposite nature. In the absence of one, in the presence of one, the other cannot exist. Similarly, ignorance and happiness cannot be together. Knowledge and sorrow cannot be together. So, panditaha na anushochati. Where there is no panditya, where there is no knowledge, there is shokaha, is inevitable, unavoidable. So, no. This is how we start last class. And I said, okay, to know that, know what the reality is. I said, definitely, that reality has to be understood only as the self, not as an external object. See, knowing the truth means knowing the truth of the whole prapancha. Truth of the whole prapancha, when I say it, is the self of the prapancha, the entire cosmos, universe. Third is that when I say truth of something, truth of the cosmos, immediately we think of looking at it like this. Let me see, let me know, how can I know? Because prapancha for us is external, for us. In our buddhi, prapancha is external. So the truth of the prapancha, okay, if it's like saying, okay, come on, may all of us know the truth, the self of the ocean, by knowing the self of the wave. We go and see, because for us the whole ocean is outside, external. We see there, oh, water, the truth, the whole, the self of the whole ocean. Similarly, know the truth of the whole jagat, the absolute substance without which the substantive world, the universe, the cosmos are no meaning at all. Minus water, the ocean, the word ocean has no meaning. What meaning does it have? The substantive ocean becomes meaningless minus the substance water. Similarly, minus, okay, the substance, consciousness, the substantive jagat, the universe, prapancha, has no meaning. This is satyam. Is the truth about the world, about the truth. So when you say, oh, know the truth, then there's no grief. Panditaha na anushochanti. How can I know the truth then? Always we look at it. And here, the clue is given here. The truth of the whole prapancha can be known as the truth of yourself. That's the only way. Know the self, the self of the whole becomes known as self. Ekasmin ghate gyate sarvam gyata bhavati. If one part is known, one part being made of clay is known, you don't need to go and touch and see all other parts. All other parts become as well known. All the parts being made of clay become known. Similarly, know the self. There's no way of knowing anything else. And this is where, oh, the truth of the whole has to be known as the truth of myself, because I'm part of the whole, because you are part of the whole jagat. This is where we say no other means of knowledge can be used here. I need a means of knowledge to know the truth as myself. And I can't use the other senses as means of knowledge, because the known being, non-different, non-separate from the knower. I am the one to be known. I am the knower. I have to know who I am. If the subject and object being one and the same, the subject itself being the object of knowledge here, no other means of knowledge can be used as, okay, used here. Only the object which is to be known is different from the knower me, different from the subject. Then these senses can be used as means of knowledge. Touched or smelt or seen or heard or tasted. But here, what is to be known? Being myself. And I am the one who has to know. So other senses cannot be the employed, cannot be employed as means of knowledge. Here again my doubt is cleared. Okay, Shastram serves as means of knowledge. And so Shankaracharya says, Shastra Shabdaha, Shastrasya Shabdaha, Vedanta Shastra Shabdaha, the words of the Shastram reflect the nature of the self like the mirror. Words of the Shastram serve as mirror. They reflect the nature of yourself. They say Satyam, Yamantra, etc. But the words have to be handled, okay? So Shastram is the only means of knowledge. And she says, Anadhigatasya Abadhitasya. See, this, the self of the whole, which is to be known as the self, myself, is anadhigatam. Is not understandable, not comprehensible through any other means of knowledge. You may say, oh, if something cannot be understood through any of the means of knowledge which I can employ, then I can say it's a non-existent thing. No, it's abadhitam. It can be negated because it's there very much as I. What you can, the existence of something cannot be denied by you. We don't have any doubt. Do I exist? Am I here? I don't need to ask anybody. I know I am here. I know I am. So abadhitam. Therefore it's there. I need to know. Then, but for the Shastram to be used as means of knowledge, again, Shastra's words have to be handled properly, correctly, that without creating any vagueness, without causing any confusion, the vagueness, the doubts, the queries have to be cleared, removed, dispelled, and slowly the self has to be revealed. So that's why Shastra talks about the importance of the teacher who knows the sampradaya, who knows the traditional method of unfoldment, the sampradaya with. So one has to know the self. To know the self, you need a means of knowledge, which is Shastram. And that Shastram has to be understood through, you know, Guru Mukhat Shravana Shravanena, by listening to the teacher who knows the sampradaya. You know. So here, Arjuna is a qualified student, and Krishna is the perfect teacher. Teaching has to take place. In fact, within one verse, Krishna must have given him the vision. He had to continue 700 verses. Why? One Bhagavad Gita, one small verse is enough. In fact, really speaking, one verse of Bhagavad Gita, if any verse, you just tell me any verse, okay, not from second chapter, 11th verse onwards, any one verse from any chapter you take, that one verse can be elaborately commented upon and discussed, and the whole Vaishnava Shastram can be arrived at. Satyam. Any one verse. That's why Shankaracharya himself says, no, you must have heard of the simple text called Bhajagovindam, Prakarna Grantha, in the case a small text. And it's a book of conversion. It's not book for worshipping and praying or anything. It's a book of conversion. It converts the unethical into ethical. Okay, the non-religious into religious. The religious into spiritual. It distinguishes, okay. One has to be spiritual. Once the Purushartha Nischaya is there, once the end is very clear, end being moksha is very clear, and the moksha being choiceless end is very clear, then once you become committed choicelessly to the pursuit, okay, then you know the value of knowledge of the truth, then you are spiritual. Otherwise, you would be merely religious without being ethical or ethical. The one who is religious need not be ethical, may be ethical. One who is ethical need not be religious. Definitely not, need not be spiritual. But the spiritual one is religious as well as ethical. Because end is clear. It's converts, the book of conversion. He converts. He just says, no, no. Karma, understand the limitation of karma. He doesn't say, don't do karma. It's wrong, okay? Don't do karma. Don't do anything. Sit. All can be meditative. It's wrong. It is a limitation of karma. Karma will not help you free you from fear of death. Better know what the truth is. Understand what the truth is. So he is Bhaja Govindam. Understand who the Lord is. Understand the concept of Lord is something to be understood, not to be attained and reached. It's a book of conversion. But there, he says, Bhagavad Gita Kinchidadhita Ganga Jalalava Kanika Pita Sakrudapihena Murari Samacha Kriyate Tenayamena Nachacha Bhajagovindam Tena Yamena Sahacharcha Na Kriyate. By that person, there's no argument takes place between the person and the Yama, Lord Yama, the time factor. That means he won't be afraid of death. By whom? If he knows little bit of Bhagavad Gita, kinchit adhita. Kinchit. In little of one verse of Gita is understood properly, it's enough. He says that. Shankaracharya, who has written Bhashya for all the 700 verses. Okay, he says that. Why do we need 700 verses? Second chapter itself is enough. In 72 verses. It's the epitome of entire Gita. It gives you the gist, the whole vision of the entire Vedanta Shastra. It's enough. Why? Because the subject matter, what is discussed, not disgusting, discussed, okay, being very, very subtle. It has to be repeatedly repeated, repeatedly repeated. Until it gets, something wrong you say. Repeated and repeated and repeatedly repeated so that it becomes clear. Discussed. So even if it is understood, So Krishna started the teaching. Whole second chapter Krishna Arjuna listens to. And he gives all the basic teaching he started doing. Then the doubt comes. Oh, if knowledge alone will free me from bondage, then why should I do any karma at all? Okay, moksha is my ultimate end. I want moksha immediately, not tomorrow, not next minute, immediately. So I need to pursue only knowledge. Then let me come to the pursuit of knowledge. Let me not think of doing anything now. No more duties, no more responsibilities, nothing. Let me pursue. Then Krishna says, what are you talking? Did I say that you should not do any karma? I said, karma is not enough to be free. Performing your duties is a must. You have to perform your duties. But performance of duties itself is not enough for freedom. You need to know the truth. Knowledge of the truth alone will free you. But to have that knowledge, are you ready? Are you ready? Okay, so Shastram talks about the qualification. One has to be ready for, you know, Shastram is available. Purushartha Nischeha is there. Commitment to the pursuit of moksha is there. Knowledge of the truth or the reality of Brahman being moksha. Okay, knowledge of the truth of Brahman itself is moksha is very clear. Okay, the means and the end being identical is very clear. So commitment is there. The Shastram is available, the means of knowledge. The teacher also is available. We learn. Can I have moksha third day? Let me give everything and sit here quietly without doing anything. No. One has to do one's duties. Non-performance of actions will not result in moksha. Performance of actions also will not free you from bondage. Knowledge alone will free you from bondage. But for knowledge, what you should do? Even you have to listen. Okay, listen, 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 listen. Pavana punyena shravanam. Listen again and again and again and again. Listen. Okay, I've understood. Having listened to the teacher many times, I've understood. But still I'm not free. Yeah. Okay, I have understood, but still I'm not free. It's not right. You have understood, but Shastram says you have not yet assimilated. It's an assimilated understanding. That is possible only, okay, understanding itself is something nice. And that should, assimilation is possible only if the attention is focused on that truth. For which one has to be mentally ready. Mental preparedness, mental readiness, okay, implies here the purity and steadiness. One should have antahkarana shuddhihi and antahkarana naischalyam. Naischalyam, nischala buddhihi. Steadiness and purity. So, you know, Krishna says, moksha is very, very simple. It's like taking this cup and drinking the tea. It's very simple. which is already there, and to be understood. So rising of knowledge of what the truth is very simple. But the preparedness which is required for the knowledge to rise in the mind involves difficulty. Great effort. Not difficulty, great effort. How can you become mentally pure and steady? Okay? That is why he emphasizes do karma. So one has to do one's duties. A certain attitude, a certain understanding of concept of what, etc., which converts the action which you do, which you perform, into yoga. Karma, yoga. That will prepare your mind. Okay, karma yoga will prepare the mind. Well, karma yoga will result in mental purity and steadiness, which is very much required for jnanam, which is moksha. That's also said in the second chapter itself. So, that is why the word yoga, karma yoga, when you say the yoga, the word yogaha, in fact, anything which prepares your mind for knowledge of the truth, which makes you focused, is what? Yoga. Without purusha, nowadays people call some of these yoga. Asanas are known as yoga, yoga asanam, pranayama is known as yoga. There's so many exercises, okay, breathing exercise, physical exercise, so many exercises which are known as yoga. In fact, not only those practices, even the everyday what you do, the day-to-day life, whatever you do, becomes yoga. If the purushartha nischaya is there, and the end is very clear, the knowledge of the truth becomes your ultimate goal. Whatever you do become yoga with proper attitude. If the purushartha nischaya is not there, the end is not clear, the value of knowledge is not understood, knowledge of the truth is not the goal, then even your worship becomes a binding karma. Your prayer becomes a binding karma. Your worship becomes a binding karma, not yoga. All the exercises we practice, all the spiritual so-called religious practices we have, become binding punya karmas. They can't be yoga. Karma yoga is non-binding. So karma performed with the proper attitude becomes yoga, karma yoga, which is non-binding. Karma performed without the proper attitude, just performed, becomes the binding punya karma or papa karma. The Vishnu has to tell this. This is the order. So first he has to start his teaching. Okay.
Ashochananvashochastum prajnavadamscha bhashase gata sonagata somscha nanushochanti panditaha.
Nothing can shake a pandita. Gata asun, agata asun, udishya. Okay, people who are dead, who are alive, things which have happened before, which are happening now, they're going to happen in the future. Really, they don't grieve. There's no grief on the part of the wise person. Why? Because we think the external situations and happenings cause unhappiness. That's why we always try to do something to retrieve, okay, to solve the problem, okay, to keep us in good humor. So Shastram says, once you discovered the truth of the whole, the self, as a self, then you discovered happiness. Happiness discovered remains forever. Why? You discovered what is already there. If happiness or something which is attained, which comes and goes, because the nature of reality, reality doesn't come and go. Brahman doesn't come and go. Hi, hi, one day, bye. This is a bye one day. We call it reality means eternal. Nityaha, nityam vastu. Nityaha, shuddhaha, buddhaha. We say all these things. Advitiyaha, advaitaha, we say that. This reality, which is eternal, so the nature of the reality is also eternal. The sun one day becomes dark. Can you say that? No, sun means always blazing sun. Bright sun. Brilliant sun. Sun can never be a day. One day, only one day sun was little shared. The sun is always blazing. Right? Prakashaha. So swarupatvat. So swarupa prakashatvat. So swarupatvat. Because the brilliance is the very intrinsic nature of the sun. Similarly, limitless happiness, which is otherwise limitlessness, is the very nature of the reality, Brahman, Satyam. So Satyam is what? Eternal. The truth is eternal. Absolute reality is eternal. Brahman is eternal. Then the limitless is also what? Eternal. Happiness is eternal. Happiness doesn't come and go. It's always there. As long as it is not understood, it is ununderstood. Once it is understood, it is already there. So that's why discovering the already, okay, accomplishing the already accomplished. It's already there. So one, this why, who are these wise people? Who are the panditaha who have discovered this everlasting, okay, eternal limitlessness, which is otherwise happiness, as the nature of the Brahman, nature of reality. Once you've discovered happiness, happiness is always there. You understand anything, any happening in happiness, okay, whatever happens cannot add to the happiness, cannot reduce the happiness, cannot cause unhappiness. Okay, that's why nothing can shake their happiness. Once you discover happiness, what happens is, because any sorrowful situation also exists within the realm of happiness. That's why they don't get shaken. It's very clear. That's why gatasun agatasun cha, about the dead, about those who are alive, panditaha na anushochanti. If you want that, then no, become a pandita. No choice, no shortcut method. I don't want shokaha, but I don't want to strain becoming a pandita. No choice. Panditaha na anushochanti. Become a pandita. Then he says, natve vaham jatu nasam natvam neme janadhipaha na chaivana bhavishyamaha. See, there was never a time you were not there. There was never a time I wasn't there. There was never a time all these people in the battlefield, Krishna was talking to Arjuna, do you think all these things who are here now, they did not exist before they were born? No, there's never a time these people were not there. There's never a time I wasn't there, you weren't there. There will never be a time in future that all of us will not be there. That means what? All of us were there before, all of us are now, all of us will ever be. Maybe physically, may not be. But absolutely, we all will be there. It's really confusing verse, you see. You were there before. You were there even before you were born. I was there, I was born. All these kings were there before even they were born. They are now in these forms. They will be in future. Even after the death, they will continue to exist. There will never be a time that they will not be. What does he mean? The self, the truth of all these, okay, the substance of all these substantives, the only substance of the many substantives will always be there. It was there beginninglessly, it is there now, it will ever be endlessly. Apart from the substance, all other substantives now are subject to change. So he has to explain now. Okay, now he has to tell the, make Arjuna understand the simple fact. Okay, so the maturity begins here. Shastra says, now what is maturity? There's a small definition of maturity. What is maturity? Being able to accept the fact as a fact without denying the fact is a maturity. You can accept the when can you accept the fact? If I understand the fact, I can accept the fact. My denial, my non-acceptance of fact is only when the fact is not understood. So the best thing is to be mature. I need to accept the fact. In order to accept the fact as a fact, I need to understand the fact. Subtle facts and realities of life. Understanding the subtle facts and realities of, I don't want to talk about the Brahman now, necessary realities and facts of life, helps one accept those inevitable, okay, facts and realities of life, which makes one a mature person, which makes one relax, helps one relax, remain relaxed relatively. One can have relative peace, relative inner leisure. First one should have this. Only then you can think of the absolute peace. One needs to be relatively relaxed and peaceful and tranquil in order to discover the absolute peace, absolute, okay, happiness, tranquility, the serenity. You are so disturbed. How can you think of the absolute peace and absolute tranquility? That's why Shastra says, Shantasya Sukham, Ashantasya Sukham Nasti. You should have some serenity in order to absolutely appreciate the absolute peace. What you seek is absolute peace, absolute tranquility, absolute serenity, which is happiness. That can be understood and ascertained and assimilated, and now only if there is certain, relative peace and tranquility, which is possible only in the understanding, acceptance of subtle facts and realities of life. which need to be understood. So he starts telling the simple things.
Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yauvanam jara tatha dehantara praptihi dhirastatra namuhyati.
He has to really, really pet and teach Arjuna. Namuhyati, he doesn't get deluded. Who? Dhiraha. The brave person doesn't get deluded. Who is the brave? The jnani is the bravest. The wise person is the bravest. Wise person is the most courageous. Wise person is the person of the valor. He doesn't get deluded. Okay, I told in the Upanishad class, Dhiraha means Dhyam Rati Iti Dhiraha. One who has got his intellect protected, buddhi protected, mind protected is the Dhiraha. Where there is no, the fearless mind is the protected mind. Fearless mind is the most secure mind. The fearless mind is the most secure protected mind. Where there is fear, there is unprotected mind. The one who is free from fear of death is free from fear for good of anything. And he is the one who has got his mind protected. Only the jnani, one who knows the absolute truth, one who knows the secondlessness of the reality, okay? One who knows the oneness of reality, one who knows the second thing being not there, other than Brahman, and he is the one who is free from fear. And the fearless person is the most secure, okay, protected minded person, and he is Dhiraha. And Dhiraha, he doesn't get deluded at all. That means he doesn't get deluded, means delusion results in pain and sorrow and sadness and grief and whatnot, different degrees of pain. Okay. Delusion, where there is delusion, there is grief. There is sorrow. So one has to be free from delusion. Not to be free from delusion, one has to be free from the very fear. One should utterly fearless. For which one should have understood the oneness of reality, the second thing being not there, ultimately, absolutely. Satyam, it's a fact. We can go and see the waves rolling on the seashore, but still, oh my God, we count and we see a lot of things happening. The one thing makes the ocean a noisy place, the water. The second thing other than water. Similarly, the one thing with which, nothing else has any meaning, is Satyam, the truth, just be understood. Then one becomes a Dhiraha. Dhiraha Namuhyati. About what? Dehinaha, yatha asmin dehe. Kaumaram, yavanam, jara. This is dehantara praptihi. What are you worried about, Arjuna? You are worried about this, all these people who are at the battlefield. You are thinking of how they are going to get destroyed and killed, and then you are talking about all those things. Krishna does not say that, okay, all of us should go to the battle and fight. No, doesn't mean that. What he says, the battle of life, death is something which cannot be escaped. It's a fact, subtle fact. We have to accept there is something called death one day or the other. We cannot escape it. We're going to talk, see the death, about the death later on, very beautifully. After all, it's a change. death is nothing but a change. Really speaking, we think death is destruction. No. Krishna says there is no such thing called absolute destruction, the disappearance. Death is only a relative destruction, which is a change. It's a change, after a change. Oh, but still it's not acceptable. But dhiraha na muhyati. You become, okay, tvam muhyasi, dhiraha na muhyati. You get away about it. It is something not. How is it? It is dehantara prapti. It is assuming another body, other form. It is going to result in, when death happens, okay, the jivaha departs from this, the subtle body departs from the gross body. This departure. But you cannot see through your microscopic, even if you have microscopic eyes, we cannot see how I say buy and leave the house and get to the road. We can see somebody going out of the house, saying bye to the people of the house. We can see. But we cannot see this subtle body saying bye to the physical body, gross body. It departs. It's a subtle fact. Okay, that means he tells here, the sukshma shariram, which is otherwise known as another body, I don't want to use the word soul, okay? I don't like the word. Some words from anathema I don't use, but still I say the soul, the word used, okay, let me use the word soul. Okay. Now, the sukshma shariram, the subtle body survives death. There is something called sukshma shariram, which I do not know. I only know about this body. Okay? Sukshma shariram survives death. There's something called sukshma shariram. Oh, it's a piece of knowledge. This sukshma shariram survives death. Ah. Departure of the sukshma shariram departs from the sukshma shariram, another subtle fact. Third point. Oh, it departs. The departure of the subtle body from the gross body is said to be the death of the gross body. Lifeless body. Body becomes lifeless, dead. That instant is called death. Is only a change. How? You know when you were young, when you were very, very young, you know how you were when you were young. You were very much there, knowing with changes taking place in the part of the body. And you are, and the body, you know, when you are young, as in the childhood in you, boyhood, okay, in you, as a youth you knew how you were, as a grown-up person you know how you are. The changes have taken place in the part of the body. These changes which are taken in the part of the body are inevitable. Again, you have no way. We cannot stop these changes. That is the nature, within the realm of the nature, prakritikam, prakritikam, which happens. You must have heard, studied in other tattvabodhana class, asti, jayate, vadate, apakshite, kshigate, nashyate, etc. We have learnt it. It goes through six stages. You must have read. Krishna says a simple word, very simple. Bhagavad Gita is, I love Bhagavad Gita, very simple. He just tells facts, the point. Asmin dehe dehinaha dehino sminyatha deh kaumaram kumarasya bhavaha kaumaram. the status of the stage of being youth, young, kaumaram. Yavanam, okay, the boyhood, then yavanam, being youth. Jara, old age, all these are inevitable on the part of the body. It has babyhood and childhood and okay, boyhood, youth, then old age. These stages are there. Now the body goes through all these stages, but does there is something called Sukshma Shariram, which does not go through these stages. It is the same Sukshma Shariram, which is there in the body, which indwells the physical gross body, remains without undergoing any change. It's there. The body grows. Body becomes old. Body was fresh and young. It was middle age, old age, all this is. So what happens to the subtle body? Nothing happens. Nothing happens. Why? Subtle body, there is something called subtle body, which is not subject to change, which survives death. It cannot be destroyed because it's subtle. That's the beauty of it. Subtle cannot be destroyed by the gross. I'm going to explain what is subtle later on. So these changes take place in the part of the body, then similarly, the same subtle body leaves the physical body, assumes another body, assumption of another body also is as good as, okay, is possible. Okay, like how it goes through these different stages of the body. It survives the same. So this is again unavoidable fact, subtle fact. I don't want to get old. Immaturity. I'll try to remain young. You can try. I don't believe in the existence of subtle body. Don't need to. If I refuse also the fact, who's bothered? Whose loss it is? You go groom and glam it and complain and grieve. Be intelligent, be mature, understand the facts. This is the truth. Yatha asmin dehe dehinaha, okay, kaumaram yavanam jara tatha deha antara praptihi. Dehantara praptihi also is as simple as that. You cannot avoid the death of the physical body. Why? That is the nature. It is subject to get disintegrated. Here, Bhagavan says, you know, anything which is put together intelligently is subject to fall apart. It's a law, rule. Anything which is put together intelligently is subject to fall apart. It's a law. I don't want to fall apart. Immature. Unintelligently put together, already fallen apart, okay? That's why the car, there are many parts, steering and seats and all those things. wheels, etc. The wheels are placed where the wheels have to be. The steering is placed where the steering has to be. The head has to be placed where it has to be. All the parts have to be placed exactly where it has to be. Only then it becomes a mobile, nice car which serves a given purpose of mobility. Movement, isn't it? It's intelligently put together. You think the car, make something. You put things together intelligently so it functions, it works. Because there are many parts put together intelligently. Similarly, what about the physical body? Intelligently, perfectly intelligently put together. The eyes are where they have to be, the nose is where it has to be, tongue is where it has to be, where the lungs have to be, the lungs are, where the kidneys have to be, there the kidneys are, where the heart has to be, very well protected in between the bones, very well protected, perfectly put together, where the head has to be, there everything, the legs and hands and fingers, the whole thing is perfectly put together. Amazing, amazing knowledge put together. Many things put together. The whole physical body, many things put together intelligently, is subject to fall apart. You can't, it's a subtle fact. That's why every car has to go for service, okay? You can't say, no, it was bought in 1895 by my great grandfather. It has been there as an antique piece. Still we are driving, we never had any service. You can't say that. And slowly one day I had to push it. It's okay. You can't use it anymore. Or you can keep it painted and keep it as a garage. Similarly, this physical body, because of it put together, okay, and already it's a pancha bhautikam. It's a five elemental. Okay? So, to fall apart, it can't help. It's a fact about the physical body. It is subject to death, which is nothing but a change. When it is cremated or buried, it gets disintegrated. All the elements, the respective element joins the respective element. That is why in India, when somebody dies, we call panchatva praptihi. The death is very well beautifully said there. Don't mourn. In fact, generally spiritual people, we don't mourn the death. Don't go and cry and weep and all that. We do have some there's a big pain of losing, missing the person, because we can't relate to the person. Because we believe the existence of the so-called the jiva, subtle body, subtly the person is still alive, but the gross physical body is dead, because the departure of the subtle body makes the body dead, lifeless. Then cremated, what is just, combination of five elements. So when you cremate or bury, what happens? The earth, the minerals join the earth, the water, the dampness joins the water, okay, heat joins the fire, and water joins the space. The elements, the parts, get disintegrated and joins its respective corresponding element. So, panchatva prapti, becoming one with the five elements. Panchatva prapti. That is the nature of the body. You can't help it. It's a subtle fact about the body. Do you want to grieve over this inevitability of the death of the physical body? You want to be mature? Do you want to accept this? Do you want to grieve? No, I don't. I can't accept the death of the body. You yourself won't like it. Better to assume something nice and young body than to pull on. We always try to. You buy the old model cars, go for the new ones. Best, better ones. Why can't we accept body also? This is the fact. We may not like it. It's a bitter fact, bitter truth, which you have to understand. Understand, then accept it. Then let us behave like mature people. So, dehantara praptihi tatha. Okay, you don't need to worry about the death of the physical body, which is just a change. You aren't going to disappear for good. It will be in the five, again, panchatva prapti. It will get disintegrated, that's all. Disintegration is only a change, which is called this relative, okay, destruction, not absolute destruction. Absolute destruction means it should not disappear at all. It should not be there at all. Once you burn the wood, there are ashes. Even the ashes are not there. That is called absolute destruction. The change of one form into another form is what? Destruction of one form. That is why there is no such thing called absolute destruction. Okay? The relative destruction is only, the change is called relative destruction. This is the gross body. What about the subtle body? This is the fact about the gross body. This is what is the fact. You want to accept it, you don't want to accept it, it's up to you. Unchangeable fact. That is the nature. Then, what is subtle body? What is sukshma sharidam? When you say sukshmam or so sukshmam, it means imperceptible. That which cannot be perceived is subtle. Perceived through any of the senses. Subtle body can be seen, heard, touched, or smelt, or tasted. Definitely cannot be photographed. People come and say, we got the photograph of so and so, and they come with some white clothes on it without showing the feet. At White Ghost we had, Shastra monks doesn't accept it, tradition doesn't accept it. I don't know how these people come with all the books everywhere showing the pictures. And in the so-called bestsellers, I saw some people having the books with pictures. The ghost and soul and whatnot they call it. They had photographed. We do believe it. As long as people to believe without thinking, they can say anything. They can sell it. Let them make money, but let them not intrude into the minds by giving wrong things. This is dharma. It is intrusion. Is not right, which is papa karma, because there's no fact about it. Shastra doesn't accept, because subtle, sukshma, when you say subtle means imperceptible itself means which cannot reflect light. That which cannot reflect light cannot be photographed. Okay. People come with books, with the pictures of... Have you seen such pictures? Just tell them. Smile at them. Don't say no, don't say yes. Because there are problems, psychological, some difficult people. I know some people who have some beliefs and then a lot of psychological trauma they go through. Okay. This one, the tradition makes it very clear, very, very clear. Okay, what is so sukshma sariram? Shastram says, you can understand the sukshmam being there, but you cannot perceive the sukshma. You cannot see, hear the sukshma. How can you understand? Very well, you know, your seeing power, the hearing power, this power which you can smell, the power with which you can taste, power with which you can feel the touch is what? Five sense powers. Pancha jnana indriyani. Okay, pancha jnana golakani we have. No, golakani, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the skin are golakani. Wherein we have the golaka form the physical part. We can see the skin, we can see the eyeball, we can see the eyes, we can see the even the eardrum, operating scene. We can see the nose, we can see the tongue. But the powers, which are called indriyam, okay, five different powers, knowledge, sense powers, sense organs. They are indriyani, pancha jnana indriyani. We know the jnana indriyam being manifest. We know, I know I can see, I know I can hear, I know I can smell, I know I can taste, I know I can feel the touch. Okay, so the five powers are there. So similarly, pancha jnana indriyani, pancha karma indriyani. What are the pancha karma indriyas now? Okay, the power, the hands are the physical part, is a grass, but the power with which the hands can function, the power with which the legs can move, the power, the organ of speech, okay, with which I can speak, the reproductive organ, excretory organ, the pancha karmas, five physical activity, the organs of physical activity, they are five powers. The powers being manifest is understood. I know I can speak, I can move my hands and fingers and legs. So pancha jnana indriyani, pancha karma indriyani, five powers of organs of action, five powers of organs of knowledge. Then pancha pranaha, five pranas, people call five vital airs. So pancha pranaha, there's only one prana, but we give five different names. There are five airs, only one air, okay? But they do five different functions they are involved in. Because the prana is involved in five different functions, so we give five different names to one prana. The five different functions are managed by prana. Physiological functions. Respiration. One, the prana governs the respiratory system, which is called pranaha. The prana which governs the excretory system is called apanaha. The prana which governs the digestive system is called samanaha. The prana which governs the circulatory system of the heart, okay, is called vyanaha. And all the four pranas, okay, have to be retained inside. When you go out, goes, come back. The retentive system is governed by the prana which is called udanaha, which is blessed by the gravitational force of the earth. Okay, udanaha. So all the five physiological functions governed by the prana. So the prana is given five different names: pranaha, apanaha, vyanaha, samanaha, udanaha. Five functions. If you open the heart and see, you can't see how heart functions. My God. But the function is taking place constantly. Circulation is taking place. You can't perceive circulation. Even if somebody else's heart is okay, there's some bypass surgery is done, and then if you want to see, you already see the function, but how it is happening, who is governing, who is instructing, who is operate, we can't know that. You can see how heart pumping, but you can't see how actually the function takes place, you can't know. The order involved cannot be seen. Order being there can be understood, but order cannot be really seen. Samanaha, all that we eat goes down, but how the enzymes secrete and how the digestion takes place, how the energy is separated, how it gets kind of blood. Like, amazing. Samanaha. Samam naititi samanaha. It takes the food, distributes food, equate to all the parts of the body. So it's called samanaha. Okay, five pranas. Five physiological functions. Inhalation, exhalation. All this. Functions, five functions, they take place, I don't see. So, pancha jnana indriyani, pancha karma indriyani, five powers of organs of knowledge, five powers of organs of actions, five physiological functions. Okay? Then, antahkaranam, the 16th mind. Okay. Together, the 16 factors together constitute the sukshma shariram, subtle body. Subtle body has no. It is called body because it indwells the body which has a form. The subtle body as such has no form. Different factors together constitute the subtle body. We call it the body because it indwells the proper gross body which has form and shape and weight and not, which indwells, because of which this has respect. The gross body has respect. This has life. Understand? And that sukshma shariram survives death. Understand? Okay, I didn't explain to you about the mind. What is mind again? Antahkaranam, I said antahkaranam. So, constant, continuous flow of thoughts. There's something called function of minding. Minding is a function. Okay, which takes place. You can't locate. The heart is said to be the golakam of the indriyam called mind. Okay, the physical part of the seeing power is called golakam, which is this. Hearing power is indriyam, ears are the golakam. Similarly, heart is said to be the golakam for the indriyam called mind. And many varieties of thoughts together constitute the antahkaranam, the mind. Mind is nothing but varieties of thoughts which surface, which arise, which come, which stay and go. That's all. And we say we categorize the thoughts into four as manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankaraha. What is manaha? Antahkaranam itself is said to be manaha. Manaha again is divided into manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankaraha. There are some thoughts which are together known as manaha, mind. There are some thoughts which are together known as, come under the category of intellect. Some thought modifications together as, okay, chittam, memory. And there is a thought called ahankara. There is a thought which is also known as ahankaraha. So ahankaraha is a thought. Chittam also is thought. Chitta means memory, ahankara, ego, buddhihi, intellect, manaha, mind, ignorance, restlessness, agitation, fear, anxiety, desire, attachment, passion, varieties, I can say, anger, insecurity, dullness, all these states of mind constitute manaha, mind. There are different thought modifications, states of mind. Knowledge of anything, clarity, cheerfulness, perception, understanding, cognition, what are they? Thoughts. They all constitute intellect. Anything you recollect of the past, memory, chittam. Any recollection of the past, which is stored, replay of the stored, in the video, in the mind. Chittam is what? Memory. Thoughts. Where is it? Recollect and see how I was, how I used to be, how it happened, how it was. Chittam is what? Memory. It's a mind. Then ahankaraha. What's ahankara? The knowledge that I am. Okay? This as antarkarana vritti, ahankara should be understood as the knowledge that I am. The knowledge of anything is also thought, which comes as intellect. So, okay? It's a thought. But the knowledge that I am, we all know we are, don't we? I know I am. At least I know I am. If I don't know who, I don't know I am, then people will give us sedatives, put us to sleep. They think we need rest. Okay, that means what? I know I am. The knowledge that I am itself is also what? Thought. Form of thought. It's ahankara. That's ego. So nothing wrong in having these thoughts. We are privileged to have this knowledge that I am, ahankara. Really? If that one thought is not there, we'll be like and crawling and creeping other animals. This without self-consciousness. It makes us different and special and so most sophisticated of all the beings. Isn't it? It really. So ahankara. Oh, this is what is the mind, all these varieties of thoughts, the knowledge that I am, which I know I am, the thought, ahankara. All the past I can reclaim, you see, chitta. Cognition, all these things, buddhi. And all the emotions are what? Jealousy, hatred, everything is mind. Varieties of thought modifications. Constitute antahkaranam. This what is subtle body. These 16 factors together constitute subtle body. Sukshma shariram, sukshma dehaha. Okay? And sukshma dehaha, asukshma shariram, has no form. We still be called a body because it indwells the body which has, gross body which has a form. And the dehi, without the gross body, okay, the subtle body can survive. But, okay, survive in the sense, survive, but it cannot, interaction is not possible with the external world. The subtle body needs a gross ayatanam, a board, to settle, like be able to interact with the external world. Okay, subtle body by itself cannot have any interaction with the world because it is subtle. It needs an abode, nayatanam. But the subtle body can exist independent of the gross body. But the gross body cannot survive, cannot have the status of being alive without the association, without having the subtle body indwelling. And understand now? That is why the subtle body is said to be the dehi. Dehaha asya asti iti dehi. Shariram asya asti iti shariri. One who owns, one who indwells, one who has, one who possesses the body is dehi. Dehaha. So gross body is looked upon and said to be the dehaha. And the subtle body which indwells the gross body is said to be the dehi. Okay. So dehi is not born. Dehi does undergo any changes. Dehi is not subject to any destruction. Dehi does not die, cannot be destroyed. Dehi is just there. That is the nature of the dehi. That is how dehi is. That is how the sushariram is. Subtle fact about the dehi, subtle body. Understand?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you want to destroy subtle body, you cannot destroy it. Even if you want to stop this body from falling apart, you can't do it. This is subtle fact about the gross body and the subtle body. Okay? So, subtle body, this subtle body, this subtle body is there when the body is born, the newborn baby, it's there. It grows as a child, it's the same without any changes. As a youth, subtle body is the same. As old age, all subtle body is the same. Okay? But the gross body goes through stages. Dehinaha. Okay. For dehi, no change. The deha changes. So what happens to dehi when the changes take place on the part of the deha? Nothing happens with the dehi. No change takes place on the part of the dehi when the body goes through these different stages. Similarly, the dehi leaves this body and assumes another body. This is a fact, subtle fact. It can be proved physically, but it's a fact. Understand? That is why Prabhupada, we have to talk about now, next things. Only if we understand this fact, subtle fact, then lot of other things about the Parabdha, Agama, Hanchita can explain later on in other classes, other classes. So Arjuna, this is the fact about subtle body, this is the fact about this what is subtle body, this is the fact about subtle body, this is the gross body, this is nature of gross body. What do you worry about? Do you worry about subtle body? Do you worry about the gross body? What is the worry about? Understand the subtle facts about this, the body.
Dehi nosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yauvanam jara tatha dehantara praptihi dhirastatra namuhyati.
The one who has understood the truth of the whole, the Brahman, thereby one who knows the second thing being not there than Brahman, therefore one has become free from fear, the utterly fearless person who feels secure, who's made protected, such a person now doesn't get dared at all. Why? Gentle body is everything Brahman, cross body is Brahman, which undergoes changes is Brahman. Okay? Anything which undergoes changes is all. Brahman does not undergo any change. But anything which undergoes changes is also Brahman, and outside of Brahman. Stholam, Sukshim, everything is that. One who sees the truth of everything does not get deluded at all. Okay, it comes and goes. Like all of us are here, there's light everywhere. In the presence of light, all these things are revealed to us. Okay, there's a beautiful table, and on the table there's a beautiful vase with beautiful flowers. Very nice. What does it do? It's there, that's all. It's there. If you can't, it's what it deserved has to be. It is there, beautiful. Doesn't, I don't feel any itchy when I see that. I can't. Because a beautiful flower with a beautiful flower wash in the corner, I feel itching here. No. It has nothing to do with my chairs, I know. Similarly, dhiraha na mohyati sukshmam. This is how sukshma is, this is how sthula is. For a dhiraha na mohyati. Because the wise person knows, in understanding the absolute truth, absolute reality, all the subtle facts have become assimilated. When the facts are assimilated, facts are acceptable. Once the facts are acceptable, then what back, how can there be any worry, sorrow? The sorrow and worry are only in being, not being able to accept the fact as a fact. So he starts slowly, Krishna teaches like a kindergarten baby, you see, he starts giving crayons. Okay, come on, hold the crayon, because you use sharp edged pencil, the child is not, no, the grass minded. He can suddenly put big lines, he can't touch the delicate, no? The elegance is not there, he can't touch softly and without breaking the point, he can't do a beautiful painting, a drawing, he can't do it. He's cross-minded, a rough fellow, child. But he still has to become sharpened. He needs to be prepared to use the sharp-edged, fine-edged pencil later on to draw beautiful paintings and drawings. So he has to be trained. Give him a crayon first. Blunt edged, big, so he doesn't need to hold like this, okay? He can hold like this with the paper. Put all colors. I just had to start the lesson like that. You know about the fact this is what is cross body, this is the nature of it, because intelligently put together, subject to fall apart, this is the subtle body, subtle bodies undergo any changes, subtle body survives death. There is no such thing, there is relative destruction on the part of the gross body, which is a change. When the subtle body departs, again departs of the subtle body, nobody can stop. That is the nature, it comes and goes. There is a time limitation for it to be there and to depart. Okay? And the subtle body survives death. There is no such relative destruction, also is not there for the, there is no such thing called absolute destruction. It's only relative destruction which is a change, which is there only for the gross body and which is not there for the subtle body. These are all the small, subtle facts you need to know before we go to, I take you to the absolute reality. This is how the gross mind is made sharp, subtle, because he has to teach the subtlest fact, subtlest, reveal the nature, subtlest substance. The mind has to be made subtle, so slowly he starts. If it is time, but remind me, okay? I won't know the time. Dehi nosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tatha dehantara prapti dhiras tatra namuhyati. Then he says, as an important shlokam, the 16th, I want to jump to, which talks about the satyam and mithya things. Okay, let me see.
Should we wait? I think we take, we can take a break now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Want a break?
Yeah.
Or feel asleep?
15 minutes, no.
It's okay. I don't need a break if you understand. I know you don't. You must be feeling tired of listening because repeatedly listening to the repetitive matter.
No, it's very nice.
Do you? You must be feeling very repetitive, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is how the Shastra should be taught. Okay. I told you once in the class sometime back, I don't know when I told. There are many errors we find in literature, which is one of the missed errors is called Punarukti Dosha. Dosha means defect of repetition. Anything once said, repeated, the word, suppose in the beautiful literature, the word once used is repeated, or the message once conveyed is repeated, it is said to be punarukti dosha. Punaha, punarukti dosha. The error of, the defect of repeating things. But here, in Vedanta Shastram, how many of our times is repeated, punarukti dosha is not there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm free of that dosha, because it's often said, because Vedanta Shastra, what is this subtlest substance? Because the mind, which is we can't help being extrovert. We have to be. We are extroverted, and then it has to be brought and focused and brought, and then something has to be. He has to go on. It's all big. It's the bringing the mind from external to the internal thing. That's why it says Punarukti Dosha is not there. Repeat. You want tea break? Okay. Have break. Mm-hmm.